My name is John Kenyon, and I'm the director of the Iowa City UNESCO City of Literature Organization, and I would like to welcome you to the Write Out Loud ceremony as part of our One Book, Two Book Children's Literature Festival. So Iowa City is one of only 53 UNESCO-designated cities of literature in the world, so it's obvious that we take writing very seriously here. And as is fitting for a city of literature, the young people in our community are very talented writers. Our organization wanted to find a way to recognize and celebrate that talent, so we created this Write Out Loud event. We asked students in grades 1-8 from throughout the Iowa City Cedar Rapids corridor to submit one page of original writing. It could be a story, an essay, a poem, song lyrics, an illustrated story, or just about anything that they can come up with. Our partners with ACT here in Iowa City evaluated these pieces and selected grade level winners in two different categories. So the first is the right stuff, which is judged based on language, clarity, structure, and emotional impact. And the second is from the heart, which is judged based on creativity, passion, and expressiveness. In addition, the folks at ACT identified other top students across the grades, and those students today will receive honorable mention recognition. So I wanted to ask before we get started, how many students have been recognized more than just this year? If you're here and you've been recognized before. Okay, so at least one time. Get them up high, be proud of that. Yeah. All right, I know some of you have been more than that. How many have been three times? Okay, so we still got some hands up. Four times. Okay, yeah. When should I stop? Five? Six? Seven? Only seven. Okay, yes. So I probably said this before, but you should be up here because you've been here as many times as I have. I appreciate that. So before we get started, I did want to take a moment to thank the organizations whose support made this possible. Carolyn Brown and Jerry Zimmerman. Carolyn was a member of our board way back when we founded this event and was instrumental in helping us to start it. And she and her husband, Jerry, have contributed financially to help us to hold this event this year. The McGrath family of dealerships, the area libraries and school districts, with special thanks to the teacher librarians who helped us to spread the word, but for all the teachers that helped us to get into the classrooms, we really appreciate that. Sidekick Books, the Iowa Youth Writing Project, IC Speaks and Iowa City Poetry, and the University of Iowa President's Office, who helps us to be here today. I also wanted to say thank you to the team from ACT that read and evaluated the submissions we received this year. And we're joined today by John Melby Aitken, who is with ACT and was the team lead. So he's the one that got all of my emails about all of this and made sure that everything got read and evaluated. So thank you to John and the team. John will be helping us to present certificates to our winning students today. So, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors, in addition to a certificate of merit, each student, whether a grade level winner or an honorable mention student, will receive a $10 gift card to Sidekick Books, which we hope you will use to go buy some books and keep going with what you've been pursuing. I see our older grade level kids who have come back from rehearsing, so they are ready to go. You guys can find your folks and sit down or sit wherever you would like. And once they get seated, we will get started. And while they are doing that, I will go ahead and ask our first grade students to come to the foot of the stage, and you can just wait there until you hear me call your name. So first I'll welcome our honorable mention students. We have Ryan Dutta from Willowwind School. All right. Yep, if you come right over here, we have Sage Caspel from Willowwind School. Great. And now we'll have our Write Stuff winner for the first grade, Rakshana Gayatri from Lincoln Elementary, who is going to read her story, Lily the Brave Octopus and Lulu the Starfish. So come on up.
Ready? the brave octopus and Lulu the starfish. One day, Lulu the octopus was swimming in the sea. It was a sunny day and the water was blue. Then, Lulu the starfish came swimming by. Lulu thought Lulu was funny because she didn't move like Lulu did. Lulu just stayed in one place, slowly moving with the waves. Every day, Lulu and Lulu saw each other. They became friends. Lulu liked to change colors and Lulu liked to stick to the rocks. They laughed a lot and had fun together. One day, something scary happened. A big shark was swimming toward them. Lulu turned white, then green, then brown, trying to hide, but Lulu didn't move fast enough. The shark opened its big mouth and it looked like it was going to eat Lulu. But Lulu was very brave. She squirted a big cloud of ink. The shark couldn't see anything. It swam away scared of the ink. Lulu was safe. "Thank you, Lulu," said Lulu. Lulu smiled and said, "That's what friends do." After that, Lulu and Lulu stayed best friends forever. They always played together and helped each other when they needed it. Fun facts: octopuses can change color. They use special color changing skin cells to do this. If a starfish loses its arm, it can grow it back. Moral of the story: true friends always help each other and protect each other.
Thank you, Rakshada. Now, if you can go stand back here, we're going to introduce our From the Heart winner, who is Vera Beale Gupta, who will be reading her poem, I Am Poem.
I am a first grader. I wonder if I'll pass this grade. I hear pencils writing. I see people working. I want nice friends. I'm a first grader. I pretend to fly. I feel calm when I'm happy. I touch my smooth desk. I worry about creepy cats. I cry when I fall. I'm a first grader. I understand my teacher. I say kind words. I dream fun dreams. I try doing the monkey bars. I hope to be a good race runner. I'm a first grader.
Stand right here for 1 second. If we have anybody who wants pictures of our group, you can go ahead. Good. All right. Now you guys can come down this way or that way and head back to your folks. All right. Thank you. And Vera, I want to say sometimes I worry about creepy cats too. So thank you for standing up for us. All right, so did all of our other grades figure that out from the test run we did with our first graders? I hope so. So now we're going to welcome our second graders up to the foot of the stage. So we're going to start and welcome our honorable mention students. We have Amelia Radke from Willowwind School. All right, Amelia figured it out. Perfect. And then we have Gracia Brummett from Hoover Elementary. All right, now we're going to welcome up our Right Stuff winner, Ella Jane Rex, who is, she's from Hoover Elementary, and she'll read Pineapple and His New Prickly Friend.
Pineapple and His New Prickly Friend by Ella Jane Rex. Once upon a time, there was a pineapple who wanted a friend, but no one wanted a pineapple as a friend. because he was so prickly. At Fruit Elementary, he tried to make friends, but when he tried to tag someone in tag, he'd prickle them. Ouch, his friends would say. So he'd go over to a tree and sit. Piney, his mom yelled. Time for lunch. He got off the topic of school and went to lunch. Piney, his mom said, are you excited for your field trip? Yes, very. Where are you going? To Animal Elementary. Then his mom sent him up to bed. I get up early in the morning. Today was the field trip day. Piney ran downstairs for breakfast. He gulped it down fast because he was so excited. He pulled on his backpack, kissed his mom goodbye, and ran outside to catch the bus. When they got to Animal Elementary, the class followed Miss Honey Beetle, their teacher, into the school. It looked just like Piney's school, except instead of fruits walking around, it was animals. They got to see lots of classrooms, then went upstairs to see the art room, library, and PE and music rooms. After the art room, it was the library room. Piney got an awesome idea suddenly. He would find a book about making friends. But he wasn't with his class. He started to walk around when he bumped into someone. It was a porcupine. They started to talk and soon became best friends. Not only did he find his friend, he found his class. The end.
Thank you, Ella Jane. That was great, thank you. All right, and now our From the Heart winner is Lucy Warnicki from Van Allen Elementary, who will read It's Beautiful.
It's beautiful how low the water on the ocean lies. It's beautiful seeing the waves of the ocean. Ooh, the waves getting bigger while the storm gets lighter has been just breaking me. Into the storm I go, I never go down, I just win it all. Ooh, I just laid it down into me.
Thank you. Hey, John will give you your certificate over there. Book. And just like we did with the first graders, if we want any group photos, if you guys can line up there. And all right, thank you, second graders. You can go ahead and head back and sit down. All right, and while they are sitting down, I would like to ask our third graders to come up and join us at the foot of the stage. All right, now we're going to introduce our honorable mention students. We have Dasha Gertovaya from Willowind School. And then we have Ainsley Lewis from Willowind, but Ainsley was not able to join us, but we can still give her a round of applause. All right, and now we're going to welcome the Right Stuff winner to the stage. We have Nidhi Saha from Horn Elementary, who will read Blackout. Come on up. Just move the mic in front of your mouth.
Blackout. It was a typical Friday evening. My mom was cooking dinner, and I was watching TV while my dad was working on his computer. Suddenly, everything went dark. Boom. The whole apartment turned silent. The blackout had hit. My dad frowned as he stared at his blank screen, letting out a deep sigh. He was in the middle of an important work assignment and couldn't finish it now. For a few minutes, no one said a word. My dad seemed annoyed, and I didn't know what to do without the TV. But then he took a deep breath and sat down next to me. This reminds me of my childhood back in Bangladesh, he said softly. Curious, I turned to him, waiting to hear more. When I was a child, blackouts were an everyday thing, he began. We didn't have backup power or fancy gadgets. The electricity would go out for hours, sometimes even the whole night. But instead of getting angry, we learned to live with it. My parents would light a candle, and we would all sit together and talk. My siblings and I would play games like Ludo or just sit on the rooftop watching the stars. Life wasn't perfect, but we embraced it. Those were some of the happiest times of my life because we were together. His words made me think. Today, we rely so much on electricity and our devices, TVs, phones, tablets, that we often forget to look up from our screens and connect with the people around us. Electricity is one of the greatest inventions of all time. It powers our homes, keeps us warm, and makes our lives easier. But sometimes, it can feel like we've become too dependent on it. Instead of spending time with family, we spend hours scrolling through apps or playing games. We are in the same room, but we barely talk. As I sat there with my parents, surrounded by candlelight, I realized how much I loved hearing my dad's stories. They reminded me of how important it is to spend time with the people we care about. Human interaction helps us understand each other better. It teaches us empathy, the ability to feel what others are feeling. When we listen to someone's stories or laugh together, we create memories that no device can ever replace. My dad's childhood might have been filled with challenges like blackouts and limited resources, but he learned to find joy in the little things. He learned patience and how to make the best of every situation. Today, we have so much more, but we often forget to appreciate it. Maybe it's time we all learned to embrace life's imperfections, just like my dad did when he was young. That night, I didn't miss my TV or tablet. Instead, I felt grateful for the quiet moment with my parents. I realized that while electricity powers our devices, it's love and connection that truly light our lives in a world that's always switched on. Maybe we all need a little blackout every now and then to pause, reflect, and reconnect with the people who matter most.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Nitty. You can go over and John will get you your certificate. Thank you, that was a valuable message. Though I hope we don't have a blackout until a little after 2, maybe. All right, now we're going to hear from our From the Heart winner, who is Ayla Keck from Wickham Elementary, who will read Ode to November.
Ode to November. I see snow descending from the sky, intermingling with the leaves falling from the trees. A hot bowl of soup at my table. I hear birds chirp as they migrate south. Snow crunches beneath my feet as I gaze up at them. All around, the sounds of animals getting ready for winter. I smell pumpkin pie baking, the smoke from the fire, and the scent of cinnamon as my mom cooks. I feel snow as it lands gently on my hand, the softness of my favorite blanket, and the warmth of my family as we snuggle. I taste warm apple cider on my tongue, and then enjoy the gooey crust of my mom's fresh cookies. Warmth spreads through me as I feel the love in my heart and the love in my family's heart.
Thank you. All right, parents and fans, if you want to get a photo, now is the time. All right. Thank you very much, third graders. And I will say there's plenty of time when we're done if folks want to get their kid up here and just take an individual photo or put it in front of our banner or whatever you'd like to do. So we will definitely accommodate. All right, now we're going to ask our fourth grade students to come up to the foot of the stage, just as our previous kiddos did. So our fourth grade writers, please join us up here. So we have our Write Stuff winner for fourth grade, Vance Vandale III from Willowwind, who is going to read The Princess, the Wizards, and the Shy Dragon.
The Princess, the Wizards, and the Shy Dragon by Vance Vandale III. As Liam, the wizard's most junior assistant, awoke that crisp autumn morning, he could not have imagined that soon he would be in search of a shy dragon. Into the quiet forests, over the steep mountains and rushing rivers, Liam would set out on a fantastic journey to save his small farming village from the greedy, lazy king. While the poor villagers tended their fields of lovage and their orchards of quince, the king dreamt of castles. For every sparkling emerald that adorned his wondrous silk robe, he was determined to build a new castle. "Oh, father," says kind daughter Princess Anna, "why would we build another castle when the villagers have so little? They cannot afford to dress in fine silks. They wear clothes that are made from leaves and bark. I've even seen villagers fashion shoes from our discarded woolen hats." The king laughed. The thought of his royal subjects sweating away, moving earth and stone to honor their king, brought him such delight. From the comfort of his throne, he decreed that the villagers' sacred mountain would soon be home to a new castle. When the wizard heard of the king's plans, he instructed Liam, his most junior assistant, to fetch his extraordinary book of wizardry, his exceptionally soft wizard slippers, and his all-knowing, all-seeing glasses. The wizard knew that the shy dragon lived atop the sacred mountain, guarding a secret cave that held all the kingdom's wisdom and magic. Any plans to build a castle would endanger the entire village. In the rough woolen shoes that he'd fashioned from the king's discarded hats, Liam dashed about the wizard's chamber, gathering the extraordinary book of wizardry and the exceptionally soft wizard slippers. But he cannot find the wizard's all-knowing, all-seeing glasses, the wizard exclaimed. "But I cannot read the spells without my glasses." Though Liam was even afraid of the shyest dragon, he summoned the courage and volunteered to join the wizard on his quest. Liam and the wizard ventured deep into the forest and soon heard the heartbreaking sounds of Princess Anna weeping. "Oh, why must my father be a greedy king?" Liam had never heard the princess cry. In the hopes of comforting her, he asked, "Princess, why don't you join us on our journey to save the kingdom?" The three new friends traveled high atop the mountain and arrived as the full moon shone brightly over the kingdom. Waking up a dragon is a delicate matter, but luckily Princess Anna had brought along her special scroll of sorcery. She whispered a spell into the shy dragon's ear, and soon he awoke and unfurled his wings. Then the wizard opened the extraordinary book of wizardry and instructed Liam to read the most magical words. With confidence and flair, Liam recited the divine incantation. Soon the three found themselves flying away on the back of the shy dragon, holding on to his scales, which shone like a cascade of sparkling emeralds. When they reached the castle, the dragon breathed a lick of flame into the greedy king's bedchamber. The king, his face singed with smoke, awoke startled and confused. The princess, the wizard, and Liam climbed off the shy dragon's back, and together they warned the king, "You cannot build a castle on the sacred mountain. All of our magic and wisdom is held there." Just then, the shy dragon spotted the king's bejeweled robe of emeralds and realized that the king had stolen his scales. The shy dragon was shy because he'd lost so many of his precious emerald scales. Princess Anna draped the king's robe over the dragon's shoulders, and soon the dragon flew away. "I am so ashamed," said the king. "Why should I have so much when the villagers have so little?" And with that, the king relinquished his throne to his daughter. In honor of their success, the princess gave the wizard a medal for valiant wizardry and gave Liam a pair of the most soft and sensible wizard slippers.
Thank you, Vance. All right, great. Thanks, Vance. And now we're going to welcome up our From the Heart winner, Arlo Halicus, who is homeschooled. And Arlo will read Hedgehog and Mouse. So come on up, Arlo.
Hedgehog and Mouse by Arlo Halicus. It was December 23rd, and in the heart of a great big evergreen forest, there was a small cottage inside of which lived a hedgehog. Hedgehog's favorite time was not December. It was the holidays that made it so stressful. the decor, the cookies, the advent calendars, all too much. If it weren't for these things, he would have been fine with December. The snow he found quite peaceful. But the snow was not enough to overcome the overwhelming stress of having to attend to all of the guests. If it did not seem so rude to have no Christmas party, maybe he could cope. Bother, muttered Hedgehog as he slid a pan of gingerbread men into his brick oven. He wished he did not have to make the cookies. But after all, the party guest would come tomorrow, and Hedgehog would not want to have a cookieless party. As he wound up his oven timer, he decided that after finishing his pan of cookies, he would go down the trail to Mouse's. Mouse would probably have a cure for Hedgehog's worries. He always did. As Hedgehog waited for the kitchen timer to ding, he sat on a small stool and took up the paper. After he had skimmed the whole paper, the gingerbread was ready. Hedgehog got up from his seat, and after putting his floral oven mitts on, he opened the oven and grabbed the pan. After extracting the pan from the oven, he slid it onto one of the cooling racks he had arranged on his counter. Then he slid his favorite jacket on and stepped into the bitingly cold air. Through the falling snow, Hedgehog walked. As he made his way down the trail, he immediately wished for some hot tea and cookies. As Hedgehog neared Mouse's clearing, he broke into a sort of jog, hoping Mouse would not keep him waiting. Once he was on Mouse's step, Hedgehog banged the acorn knocker, then waited to be let in. After only a few seconds, Mouse opened wide the door and, with a huge smile on his face, beckoned Hedgehog in. Inside Mouse's snug home, no one could stay worried, not even Hedgehog. Once his jacket was off, Mouse ushered Hedgehog into a cushioned rocking chair. Then, as Hedgehog stated his worries, Mouse came and sat. After a moment, Mouse said, "I don't see why, if these friends really love you, they would have any desire to worry you." Hedgehog thought, then said, "But wouldn't it be rude to have no Christmas party?" "I should think not," replied Mouse. "Try telling them how stressed you feel about the holidays. I'm not saying it'll work. I'm just saying it's worth a try." After they talked a while more, Hedgehog had a plan. He would try out Mouse's idea. As he opened the door to leave, Mouse stopped him. After forcefully handing him a full cookie tin, Mouse allowed him to leave. Once Hedgehog reached home, he grabbed his paper and quill and began writing letters to his friends. Once he was satisfied, he put the letters in envelopes and put on the stamps. After gathering them, he quickly walked to the Mink Mailing Service building in town and handed off the letters to a mink in a blue postman hat who promptly looked at the addresses on the envelopes and darted away to deliver them. After the letters were sent, Hedgehog went to bed happy. Then, in the morning, when he checked the mail, he found a reply to his letter from his friend Mouse. It said he would be happy to host from 5 till 7 in the night, and that if Hedgehog brought cookies, it would be great. After reading it, Hedgehog said silent thanks, then went inside to start preparing his cookies.
Thank you, Arlo. We can head over and get your certificate from John. And if we have anyone who wants to get a photo of these two fine young writers, now is your chance. All right, thank you, gentlemen. You can head back. All right, and now I'd like to ask our fifth grade students to join us at the front of the stage. And we do have some honorable mention students here, so we'll have more than just the two readers. All right. So our honorable mention students are Iris Gillespie from Willowwind School. Is Iris with us? Get Iris's certificate to her. And then Joy Tomlinson from East Ridge Elementary. Joy, come on up. Great. Thank you, Joy. All right. And now we're going to have our Right Stuff winner, who is Jillian Newell from Alexander Elementary, who will read Why Family is Important.
Okay. Why Family is Important by Jillian Newell. By definition, a family is a group or two or more persons related by birth, marriage, or adoption who live together. However, I personally know families can exist in many different forms, and there are some things I know to be very important about families. For me, my family isn't just who I live with, like my mom and sisters. We are a blended family. I consider my dad, my closest friends, my class, my teacher, and my parents' close friends as my family because I know them for a long time. Your family might not be able to protect you from everything, but they will be able to help you through the hard times. They can bring out the best in you, even if you cannot see it for yourself. I know this is true because my family helps me get through school, sports, life, and even silly things like 10-year-old drama. So there was this one time when I thought I was bad at math, my mom helped me get better. When I felt like I was bad at basketball, my dad helped me get better. My teacher, Ms. Hester, helps me get better in school. Speaking of school, another reason why family is so important to me is because they teach me our history and Black history. Did you know we don't learn a lot about Black history in school? The real Black history and the changes African Americans have made are hidden from us. I feel like the things we learn don't include stories I can relate to our lessons about Black history and all the amazing people in my community. It makes me feel cheated and like my experience and history don't matter. I feel helpless because I'm just a kid. I've learned about Black historical experience from my dad, who is an activist for Black people and the children in Iowa City community. You probably heard of him. He has taught me how to stand up for people who can't stand up for themselves and to never be ashamed of who you are or where you come from. I've learned how to treat everyone with kindness and respect from my mom. I've learned how to create my own path and chase my dreams from my older brother, Amir, who's an entrepreneur and an upcoming fashion designer. I've learned the importance of responsibility and hard work from watching my older sister, Joy, who is currently getting her degree in cosmetology while she's working. For having people in your corner, teaching and loving is so helpful because it helps you get through hard times and be the best you can be. Family will be there to cheer you on when things go well. My family has supported me when I have basketball games, band concerts, dances, and more. I look in the crowd and they're always right there with me. Always. Let me tell you, my dad is embarrassing, especially my family is embarrassing, especially my dad, because he'll yell so loud to cheer me on. We need families to share our feelings and moments of joy. God has placed all these people into my life so I can experience happiness and learn patience. I'm still working on that. I am very thankful to have my family, and I am glad that they have shaped me to be the best person I am today. I have a total of 12 people in my immediate family and 65-plus people in my extended family. With their continued love and support, I will be a world changer.
Thank you, Jillian. All right, so before she starts, I'm going to welcome our From the Heart winner, Jocelyn Terrell from Alexander Elementary, who will read My Bernie.
My Bernie by Jocelyn Terrell. 2/14/2019 Valentine's Day, I got a dog, the sweetest dog, in fact. In the starry night sky as he rode home with me, wondering in the future, what's it gonna be like with him? Slowly drifting asleep, I thought of a name, and that name was Bernie. By the look of his eyes, he was happy. I knew that day he would never leave my side. Getting home, I hoped he'd like his new house, excited for tomorrow. As I slept in my bed, I dreamt of him, doing my favorite things together, feeling his soft ears and giving him walks. I woke up one day. It had been like I blinked. 4 years went by. He was getting bigger. As he was getting bigger, he started getting weaker. My family knew he couldn't stay alive. In the next month or two, we had to put him down. As me and my family laid down Bernie's bed on the cold concrete floor of our garage, the vet got there, and I knew we had to say our goodbyes. Goodbye, Bernie. Don't forget about me. Don't worry, I won't forget about you either. He looked up at me like everything would be okay. When he got put down, I felt incredibly sad. Our house is very lonely now. On starry nights, I sleep in my bed. I still dream of him, my Valentine's Day dog, the sweetest dog, in fact.
Thanks, Jocelyn. All right, so parents, if you want to get photos of our fifth graders here, we'll have them stay for a moment. All right, it looks like we've got everyone. Thank you, sixth graders. You can head back to your seats. Or excuse me, fifth graders. You're so talented, I tried to promote you in the middle of the year. So, all right, so now will our sixth grade writers join us at the foot of the stage here. All right, so we have first our honorable mention students. We have Rowan Einan Lynch from Willowend School. Come on up, Rowan. All right, and Gabby Armstrong from Willowend. I love that tie, Gabby. All right, now we're going to welcome our The Right Stuff winner. We have Jadzia Connor-Ridge from Clear Creek Amana Middle School, who will read A Single Acorn.
A Single Acorn. I am an acorn along with all my siblings. I am one of hundreds. My mother, a great oak. I don't think I could ever be like her. She is a beauty. Right now, she is a lone tree in a field, picture perfect. Her only hope is to have one of her children grow next to her. But time after time, season after season, she watches them fall to the ground, birds carrying them away to different fields. She had a child grow next to her once, cheery and tall. But one day, one of those things came and, well, brought a loud, loud spinny thing that murdered him. I've been growing for some time now, and I remember when Mother Oak told all my older acorns that it was time for them to drop. Mother Oak told us all that they were a braver bunch, and I didn't get it till I saw the bloodbath. I just thought they would fall with no worries, but I was still so young, so naive. As they all let go, there were screams. One was grabbed by a bird, carried off to a new place. There were two squirrels practically dancing in the shower of acorns, shoving as many as possible into their mouths. A few of the smaller acorns were carried off by the wind. This memory terrorizes my dreams, and not just that, but it makes me realize that every waking moment is leading towards my drop. I spend most of my days watching the newbies start to grow, looking so, so happy. They haven't seen the great drop yet. Haven't felt the depression, the pressure to be brave, to drop, to make it. I felt these things, lived them. The days speed by. I keep telling myself that I've had a good life, that I would be okay, and hopefully leave this world peacefully. I've never talked to my mother specifically, just one-on-one. Usually it's hundreds-on-one, and I don't think she even knows I'm here. Why should she? I'm a weak coward who hides in the back, dreading the future. Who in their right mind would want to know me? No tree ever. I didn't realize it would be the next morning, and it came as a surprise. Attention, Mother Oak called. I am so proud of all of you, old and new. I would like to announce that the dropping season has come, and it is time. Those of you who have witnessed the drop before, it is your turn. There were cheers of bravery, but it sounded more like an army going off into battle right after watching the last war when they lost than going on a fun new adventure. I didn't cheer. I didn't do anything. I hung there, lost in the void, pretending I hadn't heard any of it. I was lost in the worst possible trap, fear. Mother Oak added, "The celebration of growth will be soon, followed by the great drop." More going into battle, but also having a party cheering. The party came and went too fast. I was still lost in the maze of fear. Mother Oak told everyone that it was time. The braver ones dropped first. Bloodshed. Every other acorn watched in horror. Then, after tears, the rest dropped. I hung on. Maybe she wouldn't notice if I just stayed here for eternity. But then her voice rang in my ear. Ale. She knew my chosen name. I know you are afraid, she said this sweetly. I've connected to your mind since the last drop because you seemed especially hurt. But if you never try, it'll be a what if and a what would have happened. You have to let go. I hung on. I knew she was right. If I never try, then how will I know I wouldn't have succeeded? Please, she called, I let go. These days, two beautiful oak trees stand in that field. One knew the other could make it, and the other, well, they didn't have the courage to believe it. But look how far they've come now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jadzia. All right, and now we're going to welcome our From the Heart winner to the stage. Bella Seawert from Clear Creek Amana Middle School will read Plastic.
Plastic. No, I'm not going to write about how plastic is bad for the environment and how it hurts animals. That is a very important topic for another time. But for now, do you know what plastic goes through? Do you know about the witch who turns someone into a piece of plastic and let them be recycled, reshaped, and abused over and over? The person could still feel pain. The plastic, when recycled, gets washed, then gets shredded. Just imagine getting shredded into many, many pieces. Shredded into pieces everywhere. Once you're ripped apart, you get sorted with the same types of plastic. Then you get melted. You get melted and reshaped. You get melted and molded into something else, something you may not want to be. Most likely, as plastic, you would be a plastic water bottle. And as a civil human, you recycle it when you're done, don't you? Then it goes through that same process again, 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 and again. You don't want to be treated like plastic. No one does. Don't treat other people like plastic and don't make yourself end up like plastic. Don't let people make you go through the same thing over and over. It's not healthy for you, for me, or for anyone. Don't let people shred you into pieces and then melt you and shape you into a different person. Don't mold someone into a different person. You can change, for example. You can become a better person by not making fun of people as much. But whatever you do, don't change your entire self to someone you don't want to be. Yet, I'm not saying don't recycle. You should recycle everything that can be recycled because it saves animals and helps the environment. Would you rather be recycled and help the planet or be thrown away in the trash? If you chose trash, then you might make your way to an ocean and kill sea animals, or you can be left to rot and decompose for 20 to 500 years in a dump. What I'm trying to imply here is you shouldn't turn yourself or someone else into something they don't want to be. Don't turn anyone, even yourself, into a different person that's not you or not them. You're awesome. Be the person you want to be.
Thank you, Bella. All right, and if anybody wants to get photos of our sixth graders, now is the time. All right, thank you very much. You guys can head back to your seats. All right, it's time for our seventh graders. If you could have our seventh grade writers join us at the foot of the stage. Our honorable mention students are Grady Halicus, who is homeschooled. Come on up, Grady. All right, and Avery Tislani. I don't think he's here, so, but we can again give him a round of applause anyway. All right, great. And now we will have our The Right Stuff winner, who is Lorelei Rex from Southeast Middle School, who will read 11 Aisles.
Eleven Aisles. There was no moon. The sea was drowned in the inky black of a starless sky. The cold night air drew tendrils of fog from the sandy island, spinning vague figures into being before they vanished into the cold breeze. A magnificent stone castle protruded from jumbled boulders slick with moss. The sea split into two frothing tongues of foam on the jagged teeth of rocks cluttering the shore. Black water lapped hungrily at banks of smooth, round pebbles. A small grove of thorny trees twisted up from the gritty soil, the gnarled roots buckled up from the uneven ground. Seawater slopped up against the roots, leaving a white water ring on the trunks. The tide came in quickly, gushed into the rough tide pools, and clouded with masses of swirling sand. A single yellow light on the bottom floor of the castle streamed down on the beach, its reflection rippling only when a breeze whispered over the pools of still water below. A young girl paced back and forth over the stone floor. She was small but sinewy. Her muscles were lean and hard beneath a long-sleeved tunic, black cloak, and skin-tight leggings, and her mouth was turned down in a determined frown that matched the intensity in her eyes. A fire provided an empty glow and illuminated the stranger lurking unnoticed. There was a purposeful scuff of boots against stone, and the girl whipped around, her hand instantly going to her belt. A man stood in the doorway, light glittering in his gold-flecked hazel eyes and brunette hair, his jacket beaded with drops of mist. Based on the embroidery on his cloak, he was only a private. She dropped her hand from her belt. The man shook his head in his almost imperceptible way. Sandre, the girl, tilted her head, intelligently regarding the young man standing in the entry, still out of breath and dripping water from the hem of his outer shell of clothing. Half of his body was bathed in shadow from the hall. As he took a tentative step into the room, he loosened his coat. Her army was still in despair from the devastating battle that killed half her soldiers and drastically injured the rest nearly a month ago, and even now they were struggling to regain their numbers. They had drafted anyone and everyone with fighting ability into their ranks. Even then, people unwilling to fight were fleeing, leaving a once bustling town with only ghosts of memory. A doll laying face down in the dirt, a swing creaking in the wind. Sandre felt adrenaline race through her body. How were they here? Sandre's head was reeling. She remembered what Rath had told her. They attacked a refell moon, apparently, and always from the north. Sandre stared out at the north window. A harvest moon was rising where once only had been onyx sky. Millions of stars were pricking into the velvety black, staring coldly down at her. Unlike most people in the small island town, Rath was quiet and thoughtful and barely spoke to anyone. Sandre would talk when there was someone to listen. When Sandre and Rath met one another, they fought over everything. When the war started, quarreling was eliminated. The light in the room flickered as the fire sputtered and died abruptly. The coals glowed red, lighting up Rath's face. It was clogged with the silhouettes of oak tree branches and filled with unease. He, like Sandre, had sensed the mood change in the room. The enemy was ashore, but the adversary hadn't reached them yet and they still had time. Sandre met Rath's gaze, slight head nod, adjusted grips on the weapons at their belts. They had to act fast and together. After all, a house divided against itself will not stand.
Thank you, Lorelei. All right, and now we will hear from our From the Heart winner, who is Mazzy Sleep, who is homeschooled, and she will read Decanonization.
Thank you. Decanonization. Here's the warp to Keisha. Here's the girl without a mother. And in her memory, a dog trailing, leaves parting to meet her. Then the long dream of the present. She was something else once, a leaf or a butterfly spread languorous amongst the sloping stones. In the distance, scent of camphor and spring water. All around her, the air singing her name. And now she is wrenched out of her naturality. Now she has been deprived of all that was familiar to her and herded in with the other discarded things, expected to learn it all anew. There is no happy ending to this story. The sun sets, then rises again, each day wilting to make a different shape, a different sort of rot. The girl goes on circling the acacia, surviving but finding herself only in her dreams. The unrealized future, the luminous past. Thank you.
Thank you, Mazzy. All right, so it's time for photos of our seventh graders. All right, great. You guys can head back to your seats. Thank you very much. All right, and now our eighth graders. So I would like to ask our eighth grade students to join us. We didn't have any honorable mention students, so we'll get right to our readers. All right, our first reader is going to be our Write Stuff winner, who is Cora Beeland from Northwest Middle School, who will read her piece, Closing Time.
Closing time. My shoes make clicking noises on the linoleum floor as I walk through the library. It is dark, except for the slanted moonlight that shines through the tall glass windows onto the spines of the books, illuminating the titles. The slim picture books are well-worn and well-loved. The shelves are short, and I bend down to see the books, meticulously checking for anything out of place as I do every night. I pictured the grubby hands that open these storybooks, wide eyes absorbing the colorful pictures and fantastical characters. The books are scribbled on in crayon, stained with yogurt, crinkled and crumpled, but though they are marked and scarred, these are signs of love. Story time in the library was only as a joyful occasion. Earnest faces turned upwards, ears reaching and grabbing on to whatever bit of information they could find. These kids would grow up to be voracious readers, and I would be there, right alongside them, recommending and helping, watching them grow. I saw it all. From the days where they could barely talk, to them volunteering at story time themselves, I saw it all, a friendly face, forever there. I will miss this place, I think sadly, glancing down at my wrinkled hands. It seems like just yesterday I was young myself, walking through the same doors with a spring in my step, imagining the years to come. I remember the first time I helped a child find a book. The light in their eyes sent a thrill of happiness through me that didn't match anything I had felt before. Even now, I still get that same feeling, although so much time has passed. Juvenile fiction, what a wonderful section. The basis of everything we know, we are built on these stories. Adventures and mysteries, laughter and life. So much is contained inside books. We find relatability, humor, and distraction. As I walk to the teen section, the air is so still, so quiet, I get goosebumps. It is not very quiet, except at night. That is something I love about libraries. For all of the things that they are not quiet. So many people think they are, all full of shushing librarians and signs asking for silence. But it's not that at all. It's the crisp, page-turning sound, the quiet laughter shared between friends, the scritch-scratch of a pencil and paper, these sounds making up the quiet hum beneath the conversations, the children's shrieks, and the beep of the checkout scanner. I walk past the comfy beanbags that they didn't have when I was a teenager, to the books my grandchildren have only begun to read. I pass my love of books to my children, and them to theirs, an eternal passion that will never fade away. For as many differences as there are between my generation and theirs, we all love books. Young adult books are a bridge between what was and what will be, a starting point for the rest of one's life. Here, you are teetering over a precipice, with one foot on and one foot off, waiting for that next step. The kids are coming into their own now, striving to find themselves in these books. They can be anyone here. Anything is possible. I come to the adult section last of all. My fingers run along the spines, feeling the heartbeat, the pulse between the covers of these books. These are our lives. These are our stories. They define us as a whole and an individual all at once. There are so many that I will never have time to read them all, even in my retirement. Then there is nowhere else to go except back to the front doors of the library. I am ready now. I am ready to leave. Memories and words well up inside me, thousands upon thousands, all playing a part in shaping my lifetime, an amazing lifetime that I'm so lucky to have lived. I push open the doors and I turn the key in the lock, looking back at the library one last time as I step into the next chapter of my life.
All right, Cora, thank you very much. And I did want to take one moment. Cora was the one at the back of the room who raised her hand and said that she had been recognized here 7 out of 8 possible times. So I think that's worthy of another round of applause. I remember talking with Cora last year. I think the one you just got busy and didn't even submit. So she gave a break to all of the other kids in whatever grade level that was. But thank you again for submitting and joining us today. All right, so now we're going to hear from Julia Valaga, who is our From the Heart winner, and she is from Southeast Middle School, and she's going to read A Letter from Mother Nature. And before you start, Julia, I just want to let you know, she did this amazing comic that she's going to read the text from. If you have a booklet, make sure you're following along, and I think if I did this right there, you can see it. It's in black and white in the booklet, but I thought everybody should be able to see that in full color. So go ahead and read for us, Julia.
My dearest Earth, as much as I love your pets, honey, I cannot stand them any longer. They are hurting me, again. and I know that I flashed out at them, and it isn't right for me to do so, but it's getting out of control. They keep hurting me, and I don't know how much longer I can do this.
Thank you very much. And if we have parents who want to get any photos of our eighth graders. All right, we're good. Thank you very much. You two can head back to your seats. So I would like to congratulate all of today's recognized students. You have a clear talent for writing, and I hope that you continue to pursue that no matter what you end up doing with the rest of your lives. So thank you very much. So now I just wanted to give one final thank you to our sponsors and partners, Carolyn Brown and Jerry Zimmerman, the McGrath family of dealerships, Sidekick Books, the Iowa Youth Writing Project, IC Speaks and Iowa City Poetry, and the University of Iowa President's Office. Also wanted to thank John and the team at ACT. Let's give them a hand as well. I wanted to thank our volunteers who helped us with the kids rehearsing before we got in here, Lisa Roberts, who is with Iowa City Poetry, and Teresa Biancari, who was a longtime volunteer of ours. I don't know if they're still here with us right now, but thank you to them. And a special thank you again to the area teacher librarians, principals, classroom teachers, and all other folks at the schools and the homeschool programs who helped us to spread the word and are helping to instill a love of writing and reading into our kids. So we very much appreciate that. All right, so thank you again for coming, and thank you again to the young authors. As I said before, if you want to get any individualized photos, you're welcome to come up on the stage and do that. I will say as well that our friends at City Channel 4, Ty back there, are recording this, and so once they've got a chance to process that and get it posted, that will be on their YouTube page from City Channel 4, as well as the City of Literature website, and you can get there either from iowacityofliterature.org listed there, or onebooktwobook.org will take you right to the One Book, Two Book page so you can relive today's great readings. With that, thank you very much for coming, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.